This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Ready for a big hour? Accounting, if you missed it, coming up in a few minutes. Before we're done, the winner of a highly competitive wide receiver U.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out who won that. Because those were some tough choices
yesterday. Highly competitive.
Was close?
As I understand. Early returns, very close.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see if the trend continues. We've had seven winners this year, obviously one a week.
I think folks
from seven different schools.
Trying to get it to be a Chicago mayoral race. Vote early, vote often.
Well, that the fans determine it. That's not our call.
Yep.
It's not.
No horse in the race, as they say. All right, when was the last time? You know what got us thinking about this? Brennan Armstrong leading the ACC in passing yardage, right?
That's correct.
When do you
leading the world.
When do you think Virginia last had a quarterback lead the ACC in passing?
Well, we kicked around this idea yesterday, and we were guessing, incorrectly.
A lot of incorrects.
We got to go black and white photos.
Yes, headshots in the media guide were indeed black and white.
That's right.
Not Matt Schaub.
Nope.
Not Sean Moore. Not Bryce Perkins.
No, I said black and white photos. You got to go old school here.
Not Don Magahowski.
Magic Man.
Not Magic Man. Not Mikowski. You got to go back to 1976. Andy Hitt won the ACC passing title with 1,200 yards.
We've come a long way, Wes.
Oh, Mark Mangus of Maryland, by the way, was pretty good for Jerry Claiborne. 1,145 yards. Johnny Evans at 5 and Steve Fuller at 6 were tremendous football players. Now,
Johnny Evans could punt, too, now.
Yes, he could. He's an All-America punter.
That's right.
I want to say this, though, and I want to pay homage to this guy, and I think about this guy a lot, given the current status of college football and the NFL. Mike Dunn of Duke was ahead of his time by how many years, Pack?
He was
20?
Yeah, because he could run.
And throw. Yeah.
And I think that was back in the day that Duke had those silver helmets, right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I love the silver helmets. Duke tends to go around every once in a while with jerseys. I'd kind of like to see him get back to that, to be honest with you.
The old silver helmet?
Yep. Mike Dunn was an All-America pick, by the way, in 1977.
But how about the numbers, though? 1,200 yards.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it gets better.
I know that. But, I mean, in this day and age, it just goes to show you how football has evolved. 1,200 yards, I mean, that's Brennan Armstrong for a game and a half, it seems like. Well, he's been going.
No question.
Crazy.
Syracuse has the leading rusher right now, Sean Tucker. When's the last time Syracuse had the ACC's leading rusher? Never, ever. Jerome Smith is the closest they've become. 2013, their first year in the league. He finished sixth with 914 yards.
I could be here for 1,000 years guessing that and would never be close to being accurate.
Right. Andre Williams.
Woo.
He's still running on a couple of teams.
Man, Andre Williams.
Can we go back to that list? I'm sorry. Kevin Parks of Virginia, quietly forgotten among ACC rushing annals. Roderick McDowell ahead of Devontae Freeman and Duke Johnson on that list. How about that?
Told you. I could have. You could say, Pack, I'm going to give you 1,000 guesses. I'd have been 0 for 1,000 trying to get that right.
I had an Andre Williams game where I don't think he's been tackled yet at Alumni Stadium. Later draft pick of the Giants. All right. Virginia also has the leading receiver, Dontavian Wicks. When's the last time Virginia had the leading receiver?
I don't know, but that name I've heard all season long with Mr. Wicks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The last time Virginia had the receiving leader, 2001, Billy McMullen.
Ooh, he was a good player.
1,060 yards. Look at the list behind him. Javon Walker, Sam Aiken. There's Kelly Campbell. My goodness. Julian Gary of Maryland, who was an unbelievable talent for Ralph Regan's first team. Billy McMahon. Why not show the hook and lateral here? Might as well.
He was such a good player.
Oh, McMullen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Played a while, too. Big guy. We don't have the hook and lateral to Alvin Pierman to beat Georgia Tech in 01. Why not?
By the way, I've always liked those end zones there for the Tigers. Gotten away from those.
You want those back, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's in the budget.
Just saying.
It's like us. If it's in the budget.
So Wicks is the leader in receiving yards. First time since McMullen. Armstrong, the passing leader. First time since Andy Hitt. Take that to the bank.
Andy Hitt.
I,
now, you want a bar bet. There's the bar bet.
I'm going to need some of our Cavalier followers on social media to bring me up to speed on the Andy Hitt
era. Are we talking too much Virginia for the folks that were sending you all these tweets that were bothered?
No, I think they're okay. Some of them have already said they're grateful we mentioned them early.
Oh, that's good.
Syracuse has the sacks leader, Cody Roscoe, currently, and Florida State, by the way. But Syracuse has the sack leader in Cody Roscoe. Has Syracuse ever had the leader in sacks in the ACC pack?
All I know is that T1 joined us yesterday.
Yeah.
Setting sights on whatever quarterback shows up.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. The last time Florida State had the sacks leader was that one's easy. Syracuse, not so hard. Not so. Kendall Coleman and Alton Robinson finished tied for second in 2018. Syracuse has never had the individual leader. Roscoe's tied for the league lead with Jermaine Johnson. When did Florida State last have the sacks leader? First of all, get a look at Coleman and Robinson. DeAndre Francois. Hey, good to see you.
Chase Bryce getting hit.
Yeah.
Knocked him to Duke. Knocked him to Mountain.
Knocked him up the mountain. Yeah. Here's, come on, really? Those guys. Robinson and Coleman were phenomenal. Here's Bjorn Warner, Pack. He's the last Seminole to lead the league in sacks.
I remember scoring in Death Valley.
Yes, I do, too.
Remember that?
Yes.
One of the worst passes in the history of mankind.
Yeah, there's
Taj Boyd.
Taj Boyd being sacked there. And there's is that Kaya? Man, look at that. Bjorn Warner had 13 sacks in 2012. I think Jermaine Johnson can get that number. All right.
We'll see.
When did Virginia Tech have the leader in interceptions?
They've had a few now.
Jermaine Waller has 4 right now.
The Hokies have had some ball hawks back there now.
Okay.
They've had a few. Now I've got the list right here. So it's
a year ago.
You're asking me as if I'm going to pretend
a year ago,
the answer to the question.
A year ago, they had the leader. Divine Diablo, Mikel Jones, and Nick Anderson of Wake Forest. Tied for the league with 4. Prior to that, Antoine Exum, 2012, had 5, but he was tied with Ross Cockrell of Duke and David Anderson, who also had 5 that year.
Hokies have had some guys back here taking balls. Going
that's right.
Way. That's not been a problem.
That's correct. All right. Syracuse has the ACC's leader in tackles, and Mikel Jones was 73. The last Orange to lead the league in tackles? Ryan Guthrie in 2018. Not that long ago, he finished with 107. Look at here now.
I see a bunch of holding.
Wow. Really?
I do. See a bunch of holding. No flags.
Guthrie, by the way, was a junior college transfer. Came to Syracuse, did a nice job.
See, now those unis right there got to go. Sorry.
The numbers were just.
No, those got to go.
Those are just.
Got to burn those.
Brutal. I like where they are now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So there you go. When was the last time? The old Andy Hitt, huh? Fool your friends with the Andy Hitt question.
Would have been here for 10 years guessing Andy Hitt. Seriously.
10 years.
Those Virginia fans that are whining
to
you.
How about Billy
McMullen?
Well,
they wouldn't have guessed Andy Hitt.
How about Billy McMullen? Would you have gone?
I think eventually I'd have gotten around to Billy McMullen, but I would never have guessed Andy Hitt, ever.
See, to me, the
I wouldn't know Andy Hitt if he rang the doorbell of the box of peaches. I wouldn't. I appreciate that. You $10? What's going on there? I'm Andy Hitt. Sorry.
Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, of course, lead the charge on this fine program every morning. Maybe we find Andy Hitt, have him on the show.
Is he still with us?
I
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Let's find out. Jim Daves will help us. He's friend of the show.
Daves probably texts us right now if he's watching.
That's it. So there you go. All right. When was the last time? When we come back, Wake Forest second half, the remainder of the Deacon schedule, a little challenging. We'll check the accounting. You know the Swiss still riding high on after putting 70 on America Saturday. Kenny Pickett and the Panthers make a move too. Got it more for you next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Show 488. Tuesdays mean accounting. And we decided to jump in the deep end of the pool. Not easy this week. I was surprised how similar our lists were.
Yeah, we had some similarities there.
Normally, that is not the case.
Right.
Normally, it's not.
Yeah.
But again, if you're a fan out there watching, listening, whatever the case may be,
that's right.
You want to partake, you can. Hashtag Packer and Durham. You can send it to us a number of different ways. And get your names and lights tomorrow because that is fan accounting.
Name and lights.
That's it. A lot of folks like it. I mean, it's a fan show.
I got to tell you, there are some people who came up with creative 15s and 16s.
That's what it's about. Again, if you can go right down the middle of the road, if you want to go right down the lane, right in the middle, no ditches allowed, you can come up with 14.
That's me.
You want to get creative, you come up with sweet 16.
There we go.
Have fun with it.
Let's go with plain Jane, average.
Vanilla. One scoop of vanilla in a cup. Here we go.
Over here. All right. Ready? Have a look at it. Wake Forest 1, Pitt 2, Virginia up 2-3, NC State down 1-4. Louisville, winner of one of those crossroad games, 5, Clemson, and then Florida State at 7 after picking up 3 straight. Syracuse, Miami, Georgia Tech, 10. Bottom 4s, North Carolina, Boston College, Virginia Tech, and Duke in my accounting this week.
You dumped all over BC and Virginia Tech with the L's.
Mm-hmm.
Hokies with 3 consecutive.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
BC with 3 consecutive.
Yeah.
See what goes on that. All right. I'm the exact opposite. I am the sundae with extra whipped cream, nuts, and chocolate sauce because I'm giving you a sweet 16. Swiss number 1 hasn't changed. Pitt moves up with a great win. NC State moves down with a loss. Virginia's on a roll. Hoos are fun to watch. Good one against BYU this week. Team of Mystery, you are up to 5. So was Western at the 5 spot.
Yeah.
Florida State, Clemson, not going to go on either way. 6-7, Florida State's playing better football. That's why I've got them a notch up. The Invaders of the North, that would be Syracuse. Don't yell at me. Keith Jackson came up with that name. Number 9
Invaders of the North.
That's it. BC minus 3 is an LLL. That is correct. North Carolina's in the 10th spot. They had the open date. They get ready to make the road trip to South Bend. They'll be showing in town right after I get there and leave. Miami is up 2 with a really good win against NC State. Jackets down, kind of wildly inconsistent. Hokies, you know it. You kind of deserved it. You're in the 13th spot. Not proud of that. My wife's not happy about that pick either. And number 14 is Duke. The Sweet 16 this week. Number 15 is, my arm. I can't go. I got a dead arm. Get them, Braves. Eliminate them. Bury them. Put them to pasture. Dead arm is 15. And 16, it's all tied in together. Los Angeles victory parades. And if you're saying Pac, they're not having any. You got it. That's why they're 16. There it is. Sweet 16 this week. My accounting. Oh, my arm. Can't go. I know you rented me for trying to win and buy a championship. My arm.
Are you saying Scherzer doesn't resign there? Is that what
I don't care where he goes.
What if he goes to San Francisco?
We'll take him. Okay. Well, he should have gone there in the first place, but that's all right.
All right.
Enjoyed losing. Nothing like having that National League West runner-up patch on your jersey next year. It'd be nice.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep the focus here on Wake Forest at 7-0 for the first time since 1944. The Deacons remaining 5, if you will.
Tough.
Yeah. Including history. Last time they were having a season like this, guess who rolled into town in 1944?
We already showed you.
D-U-K-E, fight, fight, fight.
With a W.
Mm-hmm.
Snapped the streak.
Sure did. And here's the FPI chance to win. Even with the start, FPI doesn't like the Deacs on the road at Chapel Hill.
The key here is FPI is saying this. So if you're a Wake Forest fan, that's it. Sip on your coffee and laugh. Like,
okay. What about NC State? That looks like a 50-50 game there, doesn't it?
Well, let me tell you now, Wake Forest has been a thorn in Dave Doran's side. Even before 7-0 starts or whatever, Dave Clawson and Wake Forest have had pretty good success against the Wolfpack. They've beaten really good NC State teams. I mean, really good NC State teams.
Right.
That's been a headache.
Clemson, 24% chance to win?
Let me ask you something. Can Clemson score 24 on Wake? Forget about the percentage.
The concern I have about the Deacons is what you said earlier, though.
Stop the run.
Oh, my gosh.
Or the lack thereof.
Oh, my goodness.
That's got to get better.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you can't come rolling in and saying, hey, we're going to give up 30 first downs again this week and keep thinking you're going to win games. I mean, that is just – I wonder if anybody's ever done that, given up 30-plus first downs in back-to-back games and gone undefeated on the road. Let that one sink in. You give up 30-plus in back-to-back games on the road and won both games.
64 first downs, 770 yards of rushing, last two games.
Right, and won both. That's almost impossible to do.
Let's go to Dave Clawson's marks, though.
Okay.
Since 2014, when he got to Winston-Salem, here's the way it sets up. 3-3 on the Blue Devils, 1-2 against the Heels, 3-4 against the Wolfpack. State fans would never know that, would they? Because it's seemingly that Wake has just dissolved NC State.
But here's what Wake has done. When State's been good, Wake's figured them out.
Right.
That's the thing that's the killer there.
Right. Clemson, hitless in 7 tries, 500 with BC. And I've seen a couple of those live, by the way.
And that's going to be late November in Boston. That could have a lot riding on that game. Just saying.
Could have some weather too, Mark.
No doubt about that.
And by the way, let us not be the first to jump way ahead here. But why not? Friday before that game is State Carolina.
What'd I tell you? Just it has a chance to be like the ultimate loser leave town match. It really does. And who knows how it plays out. But it's sitting there. I think NC State fans know it, too. I get a sense of my Wolfpack fans.
It's got a chance to be like the mold.
I talk to are like, hey, you know what? Yeah. We got a chance. The loss yet stunk. Yeah, losing Miami. But we can still control our destiny. But light blues sitting at the end of the year. And North Carolina's going to have probably nothing to lose. They're going to come in there with their.
What if Carolina comes in playing for the bowl, trying to get the seniors to the bowl? Right?
And NC State with a win
goes to Charlotte.
That could very well be the case.
Be like the days of Lou and William G. Bill Dooley.
Those were smoking hot. They were smoking hot, those games.
NC State got an outstanding college football team.
And that's in Raleigh, correct?
Day after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So you can put that Black Friday business on hold. Oh, Black Friday. Wonder if the Wolfpack goes black for the...
No, I hope not. You know what? If you do, you deserve to lose. You're the red and white of NC State. Just follow your fight song.
Okay. Let me give you this right here real quick. Here's the note, too. This is almost a lunchtime thing. Wake's never finished in the top 10.
I knew that.
All right? There are 6 Power 5 teams that have never finished in the top 10.
Got a couple from our league.
NC State. Rutgers.
NC State not finishing in the top 10 is a stunner.
Okay.
You would have figured at some point in time in the 120-some-odd years of NC State football,
right,
there would have been a year.
Right.
That guess what? The ball bounced right, you stay relatively healthy, you won close games, and you finish in the top 10.
All right. NC State, Rutgers, Texas Tech, Vanderbilt.
Of course.
And the University of Virginia.
See, there's three ACC earnings in there.
All right.
But State's the one of that list. NC State's the one that's the most surprising. You figured just once you'd had that kind of year.
NC State was 11th in 74, Coach Holtz.
That's right. That's back when I loved them. That's when I was growing up as a kid.
Buckies. Ralph Stringer.
Those are my guys. Growing Bubba up as a Green. Kid, I was a red and white guy.
Yeah. Ted Brown. Come on. Let's go. On the other side, conference cuts. Manny on the Zoom. Scott Satterfield got to be feeling pretty good. Coach Doran in Raleigh. Foo at the platform. I like the zip up. And there's more Bronco Mendenhall gear, too, on display. Back after this on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN. Wide receiver, you winner, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, and the voting is close. My God, it's tight.
It should have been.
Heck yeah.
Those were tough. Those were tough nominations
now,
yesterday.
Just for folks at home now, remember, we've had, what, 8 weeks and eight different winners?
No.
Seven weeks,
seven different schools represented in the winning category. Seven different schools. So we'll see what happens this week.
And again, to each winner, we offer our congratulations.
Yeah, and a soon-to-be name, image, and likeness deal.
What?
It's not in the budget.
What are you talking about?
The budget's gone right in the toilet. After right. The trip to South Bend, that ruined us probably through the 22 calendar year.
So we're not going to go uptown for the championship game, you think?
Oh, we better be there. I can get us in the Ford F-150.
I would say this. Given the liability of the...
liability?
Involved in some of the things you're going to be doing in South Bend...
What do you mean, liability?
Well, you know, you'll have to sign some paperwork. There'll
not
be some paperwork.
I'm signing anything.
Oh, that could be a problem.
I'm bringing my vaccination card, my ESPN vaccinated card.
And your pen?
And a good attitude.
Okay, all right.
Full
You're not
tank
signing
of gas.
Anything?
I'm not signing anything.
Okay, all right. There we go. All right,
I didn't agree to that.
All right.
Do I need to bring my plaque?
Oh, my God.
If they say, we need to see some form of ID, I go, hold on a second. I'll be right with you. Does this work?
How many network representatives are we going to have here with you and McLean? We're going to have some security.
Security? For what?
I don't know. There'll be somebody who's not going to be happy at all.
I know the commissioner. He's the man.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I remember
from
that.
From Charlotte?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He asked me, Pack, who's the man? I said, you're the man,
yeah.
And guess who's going to be there? The commissioner said he's going to be that's his first championship.
There we go.
He's going to be there.
All right.
My goal is to get Jack Swarbrick on the show. That's my goal.
All right.
If I have to go pick him up in the Chariot of Champions, I'll do it.
What a moment for him.
This would be great.
All right, let's get to the cut, shall we? Justin Fuente opened his presser availability yesterday. Third straight loss for the Hokies, headed to Atlanta. How hard to overcome?
Yesterday was a tough day with film review over another tough fought. Close loss. I mean, that's really the third one on essentially the last play of the game that we've had this year. I think it speaks volumes about our kids' resiliency and their belief in what they're trying to go get accomplished, that they keep coming back and battling their tails off. Certainly there's room for improvement. We ran the ball better than we've run it all year. We made some plays in special teams. And, we probably played our worst game defensively. We did play our worst game defensively. But our guys keep doing everything they can to give us a chance to win, taking care of the football, making some plays on special teams. But just three times we've really failed to get over the hump.
Got to figure that out. And you can just kind of feel the discouragement, can't you? I mean, some of these cuts when we see the coaches, you can see guys that are winning, you can see guys that are just grinding. And right now, Justin Fuente and Virginia Tech in a serious grind. It's a really important game for the Hokies this weekend.
We started off the show telling you about injuries across the ACC, two big ones at NC State, including another linebacker, Isaiah Moore, sidelined for the year. Dave Doran asked about the difficulty of overcoming those injuries, but especially when it's a captain and team leader like Moore.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, if you wanted to pull the four most vocal playmakers out of our defense, we just did, that makes it hard. It really does. It puts more stress on the guys around them. They're going to have to step up and you know, take advantage of the roles. You know, Drake's going to have to be that vocal guy now. And Devin Boykin, who talks a lot, coach's son, you know, but these guys, Devin, are going to have to step up and help us. And, you know, I think anytime you have a loss on the roster, it's replaced not only by the player that comes into the lineup, but the guys around them. You know, the guys that have experience now have to just play a little bit better, each of them, to make up for that loss. And our guys, unfortunately, have experience with that. You know, so we're just going to have to do a great job of it. And got to play complimentary football, you know. We got to play great on special teams. Our offense is down one starter. Defense is down four. So the offense is going to have to help us out a little bit that way. And that's the way it is.
What makes it doubly tough? I mean, you don't lose anybody.
Sure.
But you can just see with Dave Doeren. I mean, you lost vocal leaders.
Right.
And that linebacker core, when, like I said, before the season started, that room was as good as anybody in the country in terms of quality players, character, guys that get after it, and so forth. And now this week, Wes, you just had them. You had Louisville. And Malik Cunningham is one dangerous guy on the corner, right? And so NC State, from a tackling perspective, next guy stepping up on that defensive side. You're coming off a game in which you gave up 31. Van Dyke was terrific throwing the ball.
Yep.
And kind of a different animal this week, right? It's going to be a big deal in Raleigh. You don't want to go on any kind of slide. It's still in front of you, NC State. And despite the loss to Miami, you win out. You're coming to our hometown of Charlotte, NC, to play for an ACC title. But, man, this is a big, big game. Here comes Louisville, Malik Cunningham. He's been fabulous entirely this season. This is a big deal Saturday.
Well, I don't disagree with you, Pac. I think the other aspect about it is Louisville now, off that bye week, kind of hit a little bit of a rhythm in the run-throw balance the other night against Boston College. Now, NC State's better defensively when they're whole than everybody, than maybe Clemson. And they're not that far behind Clemson in terms of their defensive prowess. You've now lost Isaiah Moore, and you've lost Peyton Wilson.
Right in the heart. I mean,
oh.
I mean, that's your heartbeat of your defense.
So when Dave Doeren mentions Drake Thomas, it's on purpose. Because Drake Thomas needs to be the guy now that becomes the central leader of that defensive unit. But here's the challenge. Tony Gibson, the coordinator, has got to take what he does defensively and start plugging and playing a little bit. So yesterday, today, tomorrow will be about putting guys in certain situations. Not the core base look, it's the sub-packaging.
Yep.
And as I said at the top in the first hour, NC State was one of those teams that started this year with a term called competitive depth. They felt really good about it. There weren't many teams willing to wager that competitive depth conversation. NC State was. I think it's helped pay off for them this year. They've survived the Wilson injury so far. Can they survive the one now to Moore? We're getting ready to find out. But that's the big challenge. And here's the deal with Cunningham. He found a running partner the other day in Travion Cooley. That's scary because they got Marshawn Ford cranked up in the middle when BC went zone. They got Watkins on the perimeter. Now, all of a sudden, Louisville's starting to feel it a little on offense.
Yeah, Louisville's a dangerous team. And I go back even before the game you did with BC Saturday. The game prior to that was Virginia. We know how good Virginia's been. Virginia's been on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Hoos down 17 going the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Now, if you don't think this team's not talented, that's why I call them the team of mystery, because they can give you an afternoon or an evening where you go, wow, that's a good-looking club.
Yeah.
They can also go flip side and go, I'm not sure which direction that team's going to go. But I got to figure Louisville is going into Raleigh with a ton of confidence. Malik Cunningham totally secure in his game.
Right.
And he can beat you two different ways. And NC State now, a little wounded on the defensive side. Some guys are going to have to step up. And now there's real pressure on NC State that, guess what? We had the hiccup against Miami. Still didn't kill us.
Yep.
We're still in front. It's still right there in front of us to take it. Now you got to go close the deal in November. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big deal, like I said, coming up in Raleigh this weekend.
All right, let's pivot to Coral Gables, where things got a little interesting on Friday because Andrea Adelson had a story about a conversation she had with Blake James regarding the future of Manny Diaz. Then Saturday night occurs. Miami gets a nice win. They celebrate the 2001 team. Interesting how 24 hours can pivot a little bit. But still, yesterday, in his availability, Manny Diaz was asked about something Packer always talks about, the alignment between he and Blake James, and what's it like right now?
Yeah, I would think it is. You know, I know this, we both want the same things. But to me, what I'm aligned with a program that's mentally tough. I'm aligned with a program that's filled with competitors. I'm aligned with a program that that looks adversity in the eye and finds a way to overcome it. And I think that's reflected in the way that our guys play. You know, this is, for me personally, this is not just a job. I'm not trying to win a game to keep my job. This is a passion for me. You know, I mean, this is, you know, every time I walk in on the cane walk and I want to make eye contact with every 10, 11, 12 year old that I see, because I think about myself in the Orange Bowl, you know, watching the Canes and how important it is to me to get this thing back to that level, you know, and fully understanding how difficult it is to get there, how much work it takes, how much heavy lifting it takes, and not just by one person. It's a staff, it's the program, it's the entire university, it's our network of donors. It takes a lot of heavy lifting to get back to the top. The biggest mistake is the assumption that it's easy. It can never be easy to be at the top in any line of work. It should be hard. It's meant to be hard. That's what makes it so special when you're there.
That is spot on. That's what that is. And that's true whether you're a football coach, running an insurance company, hosting a radio show,
right,
picking up trash for a living. I don't care what it is. That is 100% accurate. And you know, the other thing, watching that game Saturday night, when Miami made the stop on NC State, their Thomas gets tackled.
Right.
The joy. If you go back and watch that play, watch Manny Diaz. He's like a kid in a candy store. It was like, oh, we finally got him, because that was a fight, man. That game was back and forth. Mm-hmm. He had no earthly idea who was going to win it. And it was so critical for Miami to win that game. And you're sitting here at 2-4, the world seemingly ever on your back. You're back home. NC State's playing really good football, ranked 18th in the country. You know, you're having to do it. Van Dyke's out there, you know, talking it during the week. Hey, is he going to be able to walk it?
Right.
He was outstanding Saturday night, going for 4 touchdowns, no picks. I just thought Miami played with a sense of purpose and passion Saturday night, that if they can keep that every week, you know what? They can win some games. They can. I mean, that's still a talented group, even though they're 2-4. So keep an eye on the Canes and see how this thing ends in 21.
Let's start at noon on Saturday, keeping an eye on them.
Pitt. I mean, it's going to be a fight, too, now. The Panthers are feeling good about life.
That game now has changed dynamically.
It has. And don't you know, there's going to be all kind of talk about, hey, remember that one time we rolled up there with a zero in the loss column? Mark Richt had it rolling. And
The
U was back, and the turnover chain was cool, and ranked in the top three, and Pitt went there and ruined the party.
And a lot of Virginia fans will be pulling for the Canes on Saturday.
You know it. Still got an outside shot.
Speaking of the Cards a moment ago, Scott Satterfield asked yesterday, ahead of the trip to Raleigh, how much does the play calling change knowing that your offensive line's playing much better?
The last couple of years, we've been some of the worst in the country in tackles for loss and sacks.
Drew, I just sent you a text.
So top 15 now in the country in that, and that's been great. They've been playing really well, and I thought offensive line played their best game against BC Saturday, opened up some big holes Saturday, you know, and I think it gives us confidence to know that, you know, that we, no matter what we're calling, that we're going to be in plus yardage. I think, and that just keeps you on the sticks and enables you to have an opportunity to at least pick up a third down. You know, that's been our worst thing we've done this year. I think we were 40% Saturday on third down, and you know, we got to do a better job on third downs, because we are giving ourselves, we don't have as many of these third and 14 or 18 or whatever. We've had some of those in the past. And, you know, but yeah, it does maybe changes a little bit, just because it keeps you on the chains and, you know, you got an opportunity to get first downs. I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Wes, you literally just talked about this 5 minutes ago.
Here comes the team of mystery.
Here comes the team of mystery. Offensive line played their best game. Yep. Malik Cunningham's a dangerous dude. You mentioned the new additional weapons in the run game. Mm-hmm. NC State's wounded in the middle. This is a hold on for dear life kind of game. It really is. And Louisville's going to come up there going, hey, let's go ruin a party, right? NC State's still got a shot. Well, okay, cool. Let's go play. This is a big game. It's a really – and it will get lost in the national narrative, because NC State doesn't have a number beside their
name.
That's
exactly right.
Right? And that's where it hurts, where Wolfpack Nation will be disappointed, because, you know, Dave Dorn had to address that last week. We're not getting any national respect, yada, yada, yada. Kept telling you, hey, don't worry about all that stuff.
Yep.
So from a national narrative, it gets lost this week when you've got Michigan playing Michigan State and the cocktail party and, you know, you got games for Ohio State, Penn State, et cetera, et cetera. But make no mistake, there are so many games this week in the country in terms of, hey, who's going to win the division? Who's going to win the conference? This is one of those kind of games that will just kind of fly underneath the headlines, but it is a big deal. Yep. Louisville to NC State.
We're going to wrap conference cuts with Bronco Mendenhall and Virginia. And apparently, Pac, they've now gotten to a point where Virginia's had enough success that even when they win, some fans aren't happy with the way the game ends.
I was distracted. You know why?
Why?
Because Jim Daves.
I know. Well, hang on to that.
Okay.
I just got a text.
Hang on to that. I was a little distracted by that.
So Virginia fans are not happy about the way games are ending when they win. Bronco answers that.
No, I'd rather win 13-6, actually.
Two field goals?
Yeah, but really, no, to be clear, there are so many things that I've learned over time, right? And it does take time. And when I was the defensive coordinator and calling plays and doing all that, I was much more tilted that way. What I know right now is wins are hard to get. And to not stop, pause, and celebrate every one that you get and earn and celebrate appropriately would be a giant mistake. And so I appreciate my team and how hard they work. And sometimes it's not perfect. Most of the time it's not. And in those rare occasions where we might win 7-3 or 7-0 and it's a defensive touchdown that we score on, yeah, I'll relish those moments. But in today's world of college football, those are few and far between.
Hey, Bronco, we know how you feel, right? We know how you feel.
Well, listen,
not happy with us because you're not at the A block of the show.
there's a lot of fans and teams going, man, must be nice to be able to score 40 every week. Believe me, because, you know, the flip side is if you're winning every game 10-7 or it's 14-13, those nail biters wear on you, man.
Yeah.
At least with Virginia, they fall down by 13. It's like, that's all right. Cool. It's our turn, right?
Yeah.
Bam. Let's put a 45 spot on somebody. They are fun to watch. That team right there gets after it offensively. Mm-hmm. They got so many playmakers. Great stuff.
All right. More to come here. quick reminder to you folks, the fall seasons are coming to an end. And we have two ACC championships for you here on ACC Network.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Coming up Friday, the women's 6K cross country championships and the men's 8K cross country championships from the Burke cross country course at the University of Notre Dame.
Know it well. I've been studying it.
Mark Packer is the grand marshal of the event.
Chariot of Champions, Wes.
10 a.m.
They all follow the Chariot of Champions.
10 a.m. on Friday. And then on Sunday, the women's soccer championship gets underway. First round action from the Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary at 6 and at 8 p.m.
Blustery conditions expected in South Bend. 20-mile-an-hour winds.
Great.
Rain and 50 degrees.
Hannah Steelman's already told you.
Mark Packer weather.
Hannah Steelman has already told you, just keep the pedal down.
Don't you worry about it. Hannah, get your running shoes on. All you ladies, gentlemen, catch me if you can.
Oh,
that's going to be the hashtag.
Oh,
catch
boy.
Me if you can.
And now that I know it's being televised, I'm fairly confident we're going to have some sort of video evidence on Monday.
In the history, let me ask you this. In the history of college athletics, has cross country ever received this kind of attention on any network at any time? Yes or no, Wes? True or false?
Wait, yes or no or true or false?
What you pick. I'm making it as easy as possible.
I'm going to say no.
No. You know why that is? Because of this idea. This idea has spurned the whole idea of let's put this thing on television. Pac driving a golf cart has turned into an ATV to the Pac-Mobile to the Chariot of Champions. And now we've got this bad boy televised. I could not be prouder of our network.
When we come back, the anxiously awaited results of wide receiver U.
Kind of curious.
We had a tight race, kids. Tight race. And it's coming up next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, Nothing But Net men's season preview tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. Kelsey Riggs, Dallin Cuff, Luke Hancock, Joel Berry preview all 15 ACC teams. Updated information. Remember, they got these secret scrimmages. They're having these scrimmages. So we'll get some information from these guys, insiders, and preview of the season ahead. Available on ACC Network, always streaming live on the ESPN app.
Is the secret out where Boozer disappeared to? Huh?
I have no idea.
Huh, is there a secret out?
I have no idea.
I saw Boozer.
He's on assignment. That's what I've been told.
Aren't we all?
Well, you are.
Aren't we all?
Amazingly this week.
I mean, once every 3 years, they allow me to have an assignment.
So.
I plan to maximize my opportunity.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes,
great.
Sir.
Good to hear. All right, let's get to the wide receiver you.
Yeah, I want to see what happened here because I don't like to know who won.
Let's recap the nominees,
okay.
Shall we?
Yep.
All right. The first nominee was Brandon Sebastian. This interception, by the way, later got hurt. I hope it's not serious. What a catch this is.
His second nominee, by the way.
Yeah. Well, he had the interception against Missouri.
The game winner.
Game winner. Close the game. Yeah, that's it. So, Sebastian, number one. Number two on the nominee list, Damian Alford.
For the win.
Schrader hangs it up. Oh, my. Next stop, Christiansburg. Running right out the back of the stadium, wasn't he?
Yeah. Given the time and the circumstance,
Ooh.
That's a hard one to beat.
That's
right
why,
there.
I was third on the nomination list. Servassier Dennis.
Servassier.
Took the shovel pass from DJ Uiagalelei right there. Nope, Kobe, you're not getting it. I'm going the other way.
Time for a benching.
Yep. Is that what it was? Yep. Time for a benching.
Time for a benching on that one.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Servassier riding the wave of his Packer and Durham appearance.
Yes, sir. Makes one appearance, finds the end zone.
That's it.
You think that's a coincidence?
Encouraging
I don't.
Other defensive players in the ACC, take note.
That's it.
And yet again on this list, Dontavian Wicks
previous
of
winner.
Virginia.
Previous
winner. That is correct. Previous winner of the wide receiver U back in week 5.
Whew, that's a great catch.
Roddy Jones and I, when we saw this Saturday night, both went, that's going to be hard to beat because that is two real football players. He gets it.
Catch so, with both hands too, Wes.
Yes, sir. Not one, two. Two
Even
hands
we
on the
had
ball.
We had a one-hand grab that did not make the top four.
Thanks.
In the University of Virginia.
Thanks. Really?
Saying.
Okay. He also had a cast on the other arm. You want to throw that in too?
Just saying. Okay. It were for me. Yeah. I think that would have made the final four.
All right. All right. The winner is.
Curious.
With 38%. So it was close.
What was second?
35%.
Ooh, that's tight.
Dontavian Wicks of Virginia becomes the first repeat winner of wide receiver U this season on Packer
Great Durham. Catch. Personally, just because I like goofy trends, I would have liked to have seen Allen win it because it would have given us 8 different schools to represent. Again, it's not our vote. The fans vote on all of this. So don't be sending some stupid tweet or some text. You guys got it out for us. No, the fans vote. We got nothing to do with it.
Yep.
So congratulations to Mr. Wicks. Week 5, week 8, the first two-time winner of the year.
Yeah.
I think Andrew Booth last year won it twice.
He did.
If I'm not mistaken. So, there you go.
Let's jump to week 5 and the Dontavian Wicks. The catch was against Miami. For those of you that have
– Oh, yeah. This was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Oh,
so there you go.
Yeah. Hard to argue. I mean, both those catches were
spectacular. This one here is nominee for wide receiver U of the year.
Yeah.
And we'll have that now. Don't you worry, kids. When football's all said and done, we got more for you, as they say.
Congratulations, though. Those were good. Those were some tough ones this week. All of them certainly legit.
By the way, some of you folks on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
God love you. God love you, as Coach Mack used to say up at Syracuse. Andy Hitt, last Virginia Cavalier to lead the league in passing. 1976, we said. Right. Oh, we got some Andy hit.
Nice.
Yeah. Going to hand the ball off. I think that's for the Fighting Dick Bestwicks right there, leading Virginia.
Kind of like those old school look there. I do. I like what Virginia's doing with their logo now.
Guess what? I do too, but anytime I can get some Tommy Vigorito, I don't think that's Tommy Vigorito he's handing the ball to. I think Vigorito was after Andy hit. But 44 like Vigorito, though. Or Vigorito was 22, I can't remember. Anyway, Andy hit. Look at the towels. Even got a little UVA on the deal. Looks like a cutoff jersey, too, because I can see the hip pads.
They were so bad back then.
What do you mean?
Virginia football was terrible. I mean, they were. I mean, they were doormat.
Is that why Andy led the league in passing?
I don't know, but they were doormat-esque. There was a stretch of Virginia football in the early days were just miserable. They've come a long way, man. Just being honest.
You're unbelievable.
They know it. Virginia fans
unbelievable.
Know.
Unbelievable.
What do you mean I'm unbelievable? Am I saying something out of character?
No.
Look it up.
Unbelievable.
Why don't you just rattle off all the wins back then? They were terrible.
We only got 30 seconds left.
All right. I'm glad to see Andy's rocking and rolling.
Hey, Andy, guess what? We'll talk to you at some point. Right? Come on. Thanks for a great show. Eric McClain, appreciate it. See you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. More football as we head to a big week 9.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.